I looked out over the ocean. It was a calm night, which meant that it was good weather for sailing. I was grateful for that. I was eager to get back home. As much as I had enjoyed the nice trip across the pond to visit my sister, I longed to return to my true calling. Some called me a detective, but I never thought that the term much suited me. I was much more of a gumshoe, or maybe just somebody with an insatiable curiosity. It had gotten me into trouble quite a few times before. Luckily, I could normally talk myself out of it. A few well-placed words can melt the hardest of hearts. I had melted more than a few in my day. One of them belonged to the daughter of the ship's chief porter. She was a bit pushy. But after I found her lost Cocker Spaniel, she was kind enough to provide me the first class tickets to see my sister. Her generosity was almost worth the 3 days she spent yelling at me to find that damn puppy. Almost. I turned back to the ship. Its luxury made me more awestruck than I cared to admit. It was beyond anything that I'd seen before. Back home, I didn't exactly bathe in a golden bathtub. The detective biz doesn't pay well, and never would unless I found a couple hundred more lost puppies. I'm sure the elite didn't care much for my riffraff. I had gotten a couple dirty looks as I had boarded. I suppose I could have spent some time trying to butter them up. But spending all evening rubbing elbows with the rich wasn't exactly my idea of a good time. So, since I arrived, I kept mostly to myself. I'd watched the ship pull away from the port earlier that day. I'd planned on spending a nice quiet evening smoking cigars on the back deck. But those plans were rudely interrupted when I heard a crash from the main dining room. For a moment, I paused. That crash was a result of foul play. I'd likely be spending the rest of this so-called luxury cruise asking questions that nobody wanted answered, and I'd be lucky to even get paid for it. But, once again, curiosity won out over reason. So, I damned myself and chased after the sound. One look into the dining room confirmed that my suspicions were correct. Much to my chagrin, I was greeted by the sight of a fallen chandelier and the cries of a pretty little blonde thing. I immediately recognized her as the daughter of a far too wealthy count that I had the awkward pleasure of meeting the day before. He clearly had considered me beneath him, but at least he had the decency to be polite about it. His daughter, however, was as cliche as they come, haughty and spoiled, with the aura petty childishness that never wore well on a grown woman. And, much to my displeasure, none of it had faded as a result of the near-death experience. Her cries made her sound like a little girl who hadn't gotten the new pony that she wanted, rather than a woman who had nearly been bludgeoned to death by a chandelier. I did my best to feign polite concern as I rushed to assist her. For better or worse, she wasn't hurt, although you wouldn't know it from her wailing. Thankfully, others showed up before I had to waste a good handkerchief trying to calm her. Her father and husband immediately hurried her to the side while the waiting staff gaped at shattered crystals that were scattered everywhere. I tried to be patient through cries and shouts that followed. I've never understood the rich's flair to theatrics, but at the moment, I was more than willing to tolerate them, if it would get the damn girl to stop shrieking. Luckily, having her family dote on her seemed to satisfy the little woman child's need for attention. Her sobs finally slowed as her father held her in his arms while her husband looked on with a mixture of confusion and jealousy. Relieved, I finally turned to examine the chandelier. I was eager to confirm what I already knew. But before I could reach it, a woman popped up from around the other side of it. I almost stepped backward in surprise. I managed to keep my composure. I knew her, although I refused to let myself be alarmed by that fact. Her guarded eyes and sly smile were unmistakable. She was a detective too. In fact, she was the most popular female detective in the biz. For that reason, most of the other gumshoes just called her Lady. Although, I always thought that name was somewhat redundant. You only needed to take one look at her to be reminded that she was one. We had met a few times before, mostly through happenstance. Funny thing about the city, all the crimes tend to happen in the same place. So, once in a while, you get two or three detectives, all walking along the same pier. Or, more likely, all heading to the bar afterward. We weren't friends. But she at least had enough self-respect to stay out of my damn business. Which is more than I could say for half the dime store detectives east of the South 3rd Street. For that reason, I would have liked her well enough if we hadn't just happened to come across the same crime scene. Without even bothering to acknowledge me, Lady held out a severed rope and announced to the room that the chandelier crash was no accident. I wasn't surprised, of course, but the same couldn't be said of everybody else. I grumbled as another round of shouts and cries traveled throughout the room. Lady looked smug, but I refused to let myself be bitter that she found the lead before I did. I knew that she was good, but she wasn't as good as me. I gritted my teeth and swore to myself that I would crack the case before she did. I glanced at the bearers again, who now stood trembling as she stared at the rope with her mouth agape. Normally, I would have given the girl time calm down, but I wasn't about to risk Lady stealing my witness as well. So, I grabbed the girl by the arm and led her down the hall without a word. To my surprise, she didn't struggle and calmly directed her back to her compartment. I led her there without question. However, once we were inside, she immediately began sobbing again. I gave a loud sigh and spent several minutes trying to console her, to absolutely no avail. She flat out refused to answer questions and only cried harder every time I asked her something. Finally, my temper broke. I whispered to her, "Answer the damn question, or I will slap that pretty little face of yours." At first, she looked surprised, but then she gave me a small wink through her tear-filled eyes, and her mouth twisted into a tiny smirk. I rolled my eyes. Of course. Spoiled little rich girls only cry when they want something. And I was willing to bet that her meek little excuse for a husband wasn't giving the poor darling what she truly craved. I smirked. The girl wasn't my type, but given the circumstances, I was more than happy to oblige. Even if I didn't need information, she was quite a pretty little thing, and could certainly do with a lesson. Before she let out another sob, I took my handkerchief out of my pocket and gagged her with it. She was going to learn one thing tonight. It would damn well be how to keep quiet. She choked on the gag as she tried to wail and protest. I gave her a taunting smile and a slap for good measure. I told her that she'd have to behave tonight in order to get what she wanted. have any interest in pleasuring spoiled, rotten brats. She tried to speak, but I slapped her again as she choked. Then she tried to cry in pain, and I slapped her once more. "Keep quiet," I warned her. This time she obeyed. So I tilted her chin up to make her look me in the eyes. I asked her if she was ready to be good. She nodded. I smirked and asked if she wanted me to kiss her. She nodded again. So I let my lips touch hers through the fabric of my handkerchief. It might have been a bit dissatisfying for her, but I wasn't about to remove that gag until the brat didn't need it anymore. Luckily, I had other ways of teasing her. I let my hand crawl down her back as I kissed her again. She shivered, and I knew that I had her right where I wanted her. I laughed and started kissing her neck. She squirmed and let out a moan. When I heard the sound, I immediately stopped and slapped her again. I told her to keep quiet, and I was intent on making her obey. She blushed and fell silent again. I nodded my approval and went back to teasing her neck. She wiggled as she felt the taste of my tongue on her skin. But she was a good girl and remained silent. Even so, I knew that I had more to make sure that lesson truly stuck. So, I grabbed her up in my arms and tossed her on the bed. She looked surprised, but to her credit, still she refused to cry out. I rewarded her by planting kisses down her chest. She kept her hands to her mouth to keep from letting out a sigh. I smirked. If she was struggling already, then she'd be in real trouble in a moment. My eyes dared her to make a sound as I slowly removed her stockings and slid up her dress. When she remained silent, I started kissing up her legs until her body started to shake. When I got to her thighs, I had to hide a grin. I could already smell how wet she was. Almost ashamed that she would have to wait until I decided that she was ready. But the poor brat deserved it. I spent a good long time teasing her thighs before finally tasting her pussy. As I started licking her clit, she pressed her hands hard against her mouth, determined not to make a sound. Undeterred, I let my tongue dance over her as I felt her body grow tense. I knew that each stroke was bringing her closer and closer. I just needed to go a little further to finally push her over the edge. But I wasn't quite ready to let her come just yet. Right when she was about to give in to her desires, I pulled back and sat up. She immediately started to yell at me and choked on her gag. I gave her another slap, harder this time. The brat clearly needed to learn that she wouldn't always have what she wanted, when she wanted it. I told her that she needed to wait until I decided that she was ready to come. She nodded and remained quiet for a few moments, but I made no move to continue pleasuring her, despite her pleading looks. Eventually, the longing grew to be too much for her, and she started to sob. I hit her again and warned that she wouldn't finish until she stopped crying. She looked furious, but I didn't care. I knew that this was what she needed, and I took pleasure in giving it to her. I waited until she finally managed to calm herself. Then I asked her if she was ready to be good again. She nodded, so I went back to teasing her pussy. I wasn't surprised to find her soaking. Given how long she waited, my tongue was more than happy to finish her off. I thought about giving her another reminder that she couldn't always get what she craved. But the poor dear was so close to coming, and I wouldn't get any information out of damn girl if I broke her. So, I pinned down her squirming body and let myself enjoy her until she finally gave in. She wriggled and shook with delight, but I was pleased to see that she had finally learned to keep quiet. Not a sound escaped her lips, even at the height of pleasure. I took a moment to let her calm down. Then I removed the gag and began questioning her. Perhaps it would have been polite to wait longer, but I wanted answers, and had already wasted enough time on the brat. Now that she was tamed and satisfied, she was more than happy to tell anything I wanted to know. Unfortunately, doll still wasn't much help. She claimed to have been reading a book in the dining hall when the chandelier crashed, but she didn't have the slightest clue why anybody might be trying to kill her. I realized I had a bit to work out for myself, and hopefully, before a lady. I felt no need to say goodbye as I left her compartment to begin my investigation.